Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so it seems as though we have some technical difficulties. Greetings, everyone. My name is Lady Deidre Jackson. We've had a couple of technical difficulties, but we're back. I would like to welcome you to tonight's episode of Real Talk with Ciola J. This is season two of Real Talk with Ciola J, and tonight's guest is Miss Ciola J herself. Tonight I'll be your guest host. So to all who are tuning on tonight, welcome. There is still time to let your friends and family know we're back and to tune in. I know we're all excited. I know I am. We get to sit down and talk with Ciola J herself. Now, most of us know she doesn't like being in the forefront, which is shocking considering she speaks publicly. But God said it was time for her to speak. And so tonight, here we are. As Miss Ciola J does, we're going to take a minute and thank all of you for tuning in during what we know is you know, it's prime time, being that this is 6 p.m. hour. And around the time where most of you all just getting off of work, you know, preparing your dinner or getting the kids ready with their homework, et cetera. We just want to let you all know that we appreciate you and truly value your time. If you want to send an email, you can send it. You can send your email to info@theolajabram.com. And lastly, for those of you who came to our tour, our first show in May 11th run, the stage play, If These Walls Could Talk, Part 2, we will share some reviews on tonight's show. So we're going to be bringing on Theola J. Miss Theola J., are you here? Are you ready?
I am here, Lady D, and I'm ready.
Awesome. So we'll be having a conversation with Miss Theola J. on tonight's show.
Yay.
So we'll have a few questions, and then we'll have some time for our listeners to leave comments and ask questions if they are available.
All right.
Let's go.
Okay.
So, how are you, Miss Theola J.?
I'm doing good. This is interesting, being on the opposite side of the chair, but okay.
Awesome.
I think I can do this.
So, for the sake of those who may be tuning in for the first time and may know nothing about who Miss Theola J. is, can you please introduce yourself and tell everyone how your journey began?
Wow. Right off the bat, huh? Okay. All right. So for those who may be listening in for the first time, my name, as Lady D said, my name is Theola J. And let's see how my journey first began. This journey for me, and I'm assuming we're talking about the journey of faith, since we're going to be talking about faith tonight, the process of faith. My journey began probably, I'm going to try to make this brief, when I was 8 years old. And this is when Jesus himself showed up to me in the corner of my mother's living room and beckoned me with his index finger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gesture was to follow him.
Right.
And, you know, fast forward to my early teens or mid-teens, I started having a lot of dreams and visions of
mm-hmm.
things to come, one being my mother's death. Saw that exactly how it was happening. Fast forward a few more years, and I continued to dream things, see writings on the wall, including scriptures. And, you know, I didn't know what to make of all that, you know, in my early 20s, mid to late 20s. And around 39 years old, I can remember specifically, you know, something happening in me. And things just kind of changed for me. I was a part of a prayer group for about 10 years. And I think that's when I really kind of began to have a greater understanding for God, because all I did was really kind of fast and pray and read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't watch too much TV. I watched a lot of pastors online on TV. So kind of, I guess God used that time to kind of bring me into this place.
Right.
For the past 10 years, it's just been this journey, following God obediently, walking with him, doing what he said to do. And some of that appeared a little crazy. So my journey began when I was 8 years old and right up until now.
Wow.
And I guess we'll dive into that a little deeper as we go forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's amazing. I can't imagine being eight years old and having that encounter with Jesus. That, you know, it's amazing. So there's been a few of us on this journey with you, and we have seen God move miraculously on your behalf. So for those of us who know a little bit about walking by faith with God, we know it can be very uncomfortable, because oftentimes it requires us to walk blindly.
Yes.
But with looking at the new contract you have recently signed with TBN, you know, being a playwright and now a movie producer and so much more, you know, some might look at you stepping into a you know, kind of like a sudden breakthrough.
Hmm.
You know, can you disclose part of your journey where you had to endure the process and trust God when he said, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, the Lord had told you to leave your $40 an hour job at the Port of Oakland, you know, where you would lose your tenure and your medical benefits. Even after having, you know, you've had several breast cancer scares, and then in this moment when you lose, you know, your entire retirement benefits, I mean, many people would would kind of flip out at the idea of sell your possessions and follow me type of moment,
right.
You know, hearing God tell them to leave everything that they know, you know, their security, you know, because a lot of us, we can get tied up in and just stuck, you know, but when you spoke about, you know, the Lord telling you to do speaking tours, you know, with no money, but he says, trust him, you know, start a nonprofit with no experience, but still happen to have that trust.
Right.
You know, host women conferences with no experience, but trust him, you know, and all, you know, do it all obeying him in faith, you know, taking the ridicule and judgment with none of what he instructed you. I mean, it just makes no sense to the naked eye. It makes no sense to a person who doesn't know him or is not walking by faith.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about this process?
Wow. You know, as I said earlier, the last 10 years have been really, it's been really, really challenging, because a lot of times we think that walking with God by faith is, you know, I don't know where we get this misconception, and maybe I don't want to assume or put words in anyone's mouth that, you know, there's a misconception, but in talking with people, I think there's somewhat of a misconception when we talk about walking by faith, because some of us tend to make this journey look easy, and we don't want to tell the real truth, you know, because we're afraid of how people would view us. But for the past 10 years, this began probably in 2010, you know, God said, walk away from the Port of Oakland, you know, leave my job. And he had been saying that for 3 years, but I didn't want to, as you know, alluded to. I've had several breast cancer scares, you know, no one gets a job at the Port of Oakland making $40 an hour, having not graduated from high school. No one gets a good paying job like that, not having any type of degree. But God opened that door and allowed me to walk through it. And then, you know, after 7 years, he said, walk away. It was kind of crazy to do that. I did take a lot of ridicule from people who didn't understand, people who were judging me, people who were saying you are absolutely crazy for leaving your job.
Wow.
And, you know, who does that? You know, especially at that time and even now, if you're not in the tech field, you don't get a good job like that.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Those are the jobs we heard our grandparents, you know, had working at the railroad for 30 and 40 years and retiring. We don't have those kind of jobs. So to get that and walk away was indeed crazy. And, yeah, God said start a nonprofit. You know, I had no experience. It scared the daylights out of me. So I incorporated Sister Celebrating Each Other in 2011, just walking blindly, doing what he said. Speaking tours, no money. Hosting women's conferences, no money. And yeah, doing it all obeying him when it made no sense. So try walking to obey God to the best of your ability and having folks around you that are really trying to grasp this thing with you but don't really understand. What do you mean? You know, God said we're doing this. What do you mean God said start this? We have no money to do this. So you have all of this while you're trying to walk with God and do so obediently. So it was very, very challenging. And to not have, you know, but one or two people that really, really understood,
right,
you know, this journey that could be there. So I often tell people the journey of faith for God is oftentimes an isolated journey.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, a very isolated journey and can be very, very lonely. So it was difficult, but stay the course if you're on a faith journey. Trust me, it pays off.
Right. Amen. And so, like you said, it was a faith walk. And so you have made a lot of people believers just by watching your faith alone, starting things with no money and seeing God bring things into manifestation and seeing the victory tours, seeing the people come, seeing the outcome and just people lives being changed just because you took that step and leap of faith.
Wow.
It's amazing.
God is the glory.
Yeah, so we've learned that you're a lady of many hats. And, you know, you and I, we've talked a little bit offline. So I know, you have been extremely busy with managing all of what God has given you. You know, you're a successful playwright with your own production company. You know, you're an author, a motivational speaker, a licensed minister, an entrepreneur, you know, a certified life coach, and a soon-to-be certified fitness trainer and nutritionist. You know, just to name a few, I'll cut it short there, but can you tell us how you manage to balance, you know, all of that?
Wow. Prayer.
Okay.
You know, definitely a lot of prayer. And I don't say that lightly either, because a lot of times when we think, you know, okay, yeah, I just do everything by prayer. Mm-hmm. No, I literally, you know, have to go before God in prayer, because I recognize that none of what God allows me to do is me. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. You know, mm-hmm. I understand that it's not me. It's not by my own strength. There is absolutely no way that I would have the mental capacity to be able to do everything that God has graced me to do.
Right.
There's just no way. And I'm not arrogant or presumptuous to think that I can.
Right.
And a lot of times I try not to even wrap my brain around it all, because my brain could not really fully comprehend or hold everything he's given
right.
me to do.
Absolutely.
There's been times where I've literally thought about, you know, multiple things that God has given me to do, and sometimes it becomes overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I pray and say, okay, Lord, what are we doing? You mm-hmm. know, what would you have me to do next, and how are we doing it? I used to get teased many years ago about praying about everything, you know, and I do. I pray about everything.
Right.
Because
like Christine.
like Christine in the play. That's true. That's me. But he, you know, I don't know what to do with what he's given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to assume that I know what he wants to do.
Right.
And I'm grateful, because with so much, it keeps me at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me in constant prayer with him. It keeps me before the throne
right.
of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just asking God, what are we doing? How do you want to do this?
Right.
You know, and it's crazy. People years ago used to tease me, are you going to pray over that piece of gum before you put it in your mouth? But I'm grateful for those moments, because little did I know is that it was kind of bringing me to this place where I would learn how to constantly be before him,
right.
obediently praying and asking God every step of the way. And I've gotten pretty bold with it now.
I'm sure.
So if in the sense that when I say bold with it, in the sense that when I see things not going the way God said, you know,
mm-hmm.
I am quick to go, that's not what
that's
he said.
Right.
Yeah, and it's because obedience have guaranteed that it would go the way he said. And that's the only reason we see what we
mm-hmm.
see today, is because we are doing exactly what he said.
Right.
We don't sway from what he said or how he said. And, you know, that's my goal, is
right.
to do it exactly the way God said it, when he said it, how he said it. That's it.
Right.
So prayer and obedience.
Right. Amen. And that keeps you, you know, in the seat of humility.
Yeah.
Because when the blessings come in, you know to give God the glory.
Amen.
So that's amazing. And that's something that I truly admire about you.
Thank God.
So as a playwright, you know, you have now written and produced 3 successful stage plays.
Wow.
And, you know, now you're currently on tour with the 3rd one, If These Walls Could Talk, Part 2. You guys come out and see it now.
Yes.
Now, can you tell us, you know, where the idea of becoming a playwright came from? I mean, and how this whole experience has been, you know, see the scripts come to life on stage.
It's pretty mind-blowing,
mm.
you know, to be honest with you. And I tell you guys this, the Walls family, all the time, that I never saw myself as writing, because writing is something okay. So I've always wrote from
mm-hmm.
even when I was a young child. I would write
right.
poetry and poems, and was always very wordy, and I still am. So, but having that I didn't graduate high school, and you know, with my childhood I had being very challenging with my mother and not being able to attend school on a regular basis, I always felt like I wasn't good enough, you know, that it was something I was missing. And,
right.
You know, so me over the years, even in my early teens, I would constantly stay at libraries. I mean, I would check out so many books. It's so embarrassing. I would go to, like, the Oakland Library,
mm-hmm.
and I would check out, like, 10 and 12 books. I knew
mm-hmm.
I couldn't read all those books.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them were self-help books, vocabulary books, grammar books, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I felt so insufficient in terms of my academics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always trying to learn more and study more and do more. And so I didn't think that I was good at writing, but it was probably like in the early 2000s when I was sitting in my living room, and it was on a Saturday morning. We used to have prayer on
mm-hmm.
Saturday mornings, and I was sitting quietly and I was just doodling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord began to give me this idea, and it was female woman to lady.
Okay.
From female to woman to lady, and that was the first stage play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wrote 8 pages, and I thought I had a little play. So we had all the characters, and it was based on the story of me and my grandmother.
Okay.
And so that's where it came from, and, you know, that play happened back in 2017. And right after that play, I was actually driving home, and I heard the title, If These Walls Could Talk.
Okay.
And I actually thought that it was another book.
Right.
And silly me, I posted it on Facebook, if these walls could talk, the next book, you know. But little did I know it was actually the next stage. But fast forward, I was sitting in the nail shop at Walmart back in 2017, and the summer of 2017, and the Lord said to me, Mother Mabel Blackstone, now I'm sitting in the nail shop, and, you know, she's doing my little gel nails, and I'm like, who is Mother Mabel Blackstone?
What the heck is the name?
And as I sit there, the Lord began to download the whole concept. And I'm sitting in the nail shop at Walmart, and I just fell out laughing, forgetting where I was. You know, and then it dawned on me, crazy fool, you sitting in Walmart in front of all these people laughing to yourself. And I remember I couldn't wait to get out of Walmart, ran to the car, and I called Mama Tam on the phone. And she answered. I said, hey, Maple Blackstone. And she said, who? I thought she was going to be Mother Maple Blackstone.
Oh, my goodness.
So I shared with her in that 10-minute drive home the entire concept to If These Walls Could Talk. And shortly after that, the Lord began to call into play who the characters were. And here we are now. And he told me that it was going to be a trilogy. So I find writing these things really, really exciting. I've had some people say, you must kind of like have schizophrenia and multiple personalities to be able to write all these characters. But it's interesting. When I sit down and begin to write, the Lord just begins to unveil. And I enjoy writing the plays. It's fun.
Right. That's amazing. And, you know, I find it so funny, not funny, but interesting that the area that the enemy would try to attack us in and make us feel inadequate is 9 times out of 10, majority of the time, the area that God calls us to excel in.
Yeah.
So I find that so, you know, phenomenal that, you know, you're able to write scripts and how the ideas and the concepts come to you so purely and so just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Amen.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the news you recently disclosed on social media regarding a major book deal with the world's largest religious network, the Trinity Broadcast Network, a.k.a. TBN. So can you expand on what, you know, transpired regarding this?
Wow. Yeah, this one is huge for me. I still get really, really nervous thinking about it. Back in 2016, the Lord said, you will be on TBN. I didn't think anything of this. You know, God has spoken many words, praise God, every last one of them thus far have come to pass. And I didn't try to do anything to move the word forward or anything. And, you know, some time ago, I saw some information, and, you know, God basically said it's time. And little did I know, they chose my script, my manuscript, to republish. So it's pretty incredible how that whole thing just happened. So from January until now, everything that has taken place regarding TBN is pretty incredible. And I think what really kind of blows my mind with this is I began watching TBN when I was 7 years old in Los Angeles with my grandmother. My grandmother used to watch TBN when it first came on. And all my life, I'm 52 now, that's the one channel that I have watched religiously all my life. I literally know the whole story of TBN.
Right, like the back of your hand.
The back of my hand, because I've been watching it all my life. So to have my book republished through them, and, you know, they're actually going to not only republish my book, but they're going to create a commercial.
Oh, my goodness.
That they are going to advertise on their Hillsong channel.
Wow.
That reaches 155 million
homes. Oh, my goodness.
I have not shared this with anyone.
Right.
The Walls family.
Share.
I'm kind of freaking out about that because I'm so public and private, which is, like you said, crazy. I don't really like to be in the forefront. You don't have to know my name. You know, let's just do what we do, and y'all go on out there and take all the credit, and to God be the glory. But it's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
It's huge.
So to have them do that commercial and just to have the book published with TBN is pretty incredible. So I just pray that that God will be glorified in it. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
We were able to visit the TBN studios
last week. That was amazing.
That was exciting. So Yeah, I'm still kind of in awe.
Right. And so God is doing, you know, so many, you know, amazing things in your life. And so, you know, a part of this interview tonight, I kind of want to just pull out all the good news.
Okay.
You know, I want you to share openly of all of what God is doing. Okay. So with your book being republished by TBN, you have some more great news to share regarding your book, you know, which depicts a huge portion of your life.
Hmm.
You know, now there is a movie being made as well.
Yep.
Can you share with those who are anticipating this project and what they could expect through this film?
Wow. This is another word God spoke. I was actually on a prayer line, God's Team International prayer line, who is the head facilitator with Mother Rosemary Saffold. And on that prayer call, two specific times, I've been asked a couple of times to be a guest speaker on that prayer call. And twice on Mother Rosemary's call, it was prophesied that there would be a movie
mm-hmm.
that would come from the book. And after the play, the first play, that is, Johan and I, who actually wrote the movie, developed the manuscript, we're talking, and the topic of a movie came up. And I think shortly after that conversation, Johan took a copy of my book, and within 3 days, he literally wrote the entire script. Now, what's amazing about this is that he would send me portions of the script, usually 20 to 30 pages, 30-page increments.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found amazing by this is that some of the stuff Johan wrote in that Ashley script, I did not share with Johan,
right.
Nor did I share in the book.
Mm.
So I know this is truly God, because how would this man know anything about my childhood
mm-mm-mm.
or life experiences that I did not share?
Right.
So when I would, I would be reading the manuscript and I would actually flip through my book and go, I know I didn't put that in there.
Mm.
And I would call him and go, how did you know this? Because
impressive.
I didn't put this in the book, nor did we discuss this.
Wow.
So it was really good for the both of us. So just past Saturday, we filmed the trailer
yes.
to the movie yes. I Know, and you are playing my mother, and Dusty
yes.
is playing my father. Dusty will be joining us a little later, and I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited. It's always exciting to have a word of God that he spoke, and you not try to bring that
right.
word to pass.
We don't manipulate
the
word.
We don't manipulate the word. We just go through the process, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging. We don't try to bring people in and jump
right.
ahead of the Spirit, but we
wow.
move in unity, hallelujah, and in the flow of the Spirit.
Hmm.
And, you know, when we do that, we'll find ourselves often surprised when the word manifests. It's not
right.
that we're not looking for the word, but
mm-hmm.
we're not trying to manipulate the Spirit
right.
to bring the word ahead of its time,
wisdom.
You know. And so I've learned just to walk with God in obedience
mm-hmm.
and trust him. And when the Holy Spirit highlights the word, you go, oh. And then you begin to see the word itself manifest. And so that's how I've been living my life, and in doing so, I'm really seeing everything that God has spoken come to pass. So it's not
wow.
me trying to manipulate the Spirit. It's not me trying to reach out to TBN and say, hey, do you want to publish my book? It's
right.
not me trying
come
to
on.
Reach out to people saying, hey, you know, I'm not
right.
reaching out to people going, hey, I'm a writer. I'm a, you know, I literally have not moved outside of the four walls, and you guys
yeah.
know this who
oh,
know
yeah.
me, and God has just been basically bringing
yes.
this stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Phone calls have been coming to me. People have been coming to
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah.
Contacts have been. I don't go out and reach out to them. God has literally been dropping this stuff in our laps.
Right.
That's what's amazing to me.
That's amazing.
Because it's not
amazing.
Us. It's all him.
Oh, yeah. And that's impressive. You can definitely see the manifestation of following the word, going back to the word.
Yes.
Not manipulating the word, but
yes.
actually just being submitted and yielded to God
yes.
and allowing him to bring everything as what he spoke to pass.
Yes. Obedience
amazing.
And prayer.
Amen.
And humility.
Humility.
Understanding that it's not any of us, but it's all him.
Right.
And it's done to the glory of him.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Absolutely. Awesome. So, you know, so let's talk a little bit about Sisters Celebrating Each Other.
Okay.
Now, this is a nonprofit you incorporated back in 2011.
Uh-huh.
Is this where the name The Encourager came from?
I That's an interesting question. Is this the name of the encourager? You know what? No, because for many years I've had the humble opportunity to, I don't know, women seem to always flock to me.
Right, right.
Always have, you know, and I never understood it. Now I understand, but I didn't back then. And they would always want to kind of share with me their problems, and I would always be able to talk to them, but I never saw myself in, you know, as an encourager, you know, or anything. I was just being transparent with those that would come and talk to me. So over the years, it was their feedback. They would always say, God, you're so encouraging. Thank you. You're such an encourager, you know. And then one day the Lord, and I think it was Mama Pam, that said, baby, you're the encourager, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it just dawned on me. I said, oh, my God. That's what the Lord said. You are the encourager.
Right.
So that's where the name came from.
Okay, awesome. Now, is this also when and where the annual Living in Life and Loving It Women's Conferences were born?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's where it came
from.
So
as a part of Sister Celebrating Each Other, Inc., we started the women's conferences back in 2014.
Okay.
And so we put the first one on in 2 weeks. God said do a women's conference, and bless Rainey's heart, she just rose with me, you know, with all my crazy ideas. God said do a women's conference. When? In 2 weeks. What?
Let's do it.
Yeah, she, and that's what she said. Okay, I don't understand, but okay. And so she has been a really good, I love Rainey with all my heart. She's been there. And yes, so this is where the Living Life and Loving It Women's Conferences were born from.
Okay.
And so we are now on our 6-1.
6-1.
Yes.
Amen. That's amazing. And so, you know, God has given us all so many gifts and abilities, and sometimes we set limitations on ourselves. And, you know, you seem to have mastered moving beyond the limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you design all your websites. You guys, she creates all the marketing material, you know, writes all your content. You do all the administrative work and so much more. You know, can you give any encouragement to those who may, you know, feel stuck or afraid to take the leap of faith, you know, who want to take the leap of faith into the realm of purpose and even business?
Wow. You know, I remember back in 2007, God said, design a website. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I got on GoDaddy and I tried and it didn't work. And then I reached out to this guy, paid him $650, and he sent me back one page that looked like a grave site.
Oh,
you know, and I was like, really? $650 for this? And I continued to try and, you know, do the website. And I got so frustrated. And then in 2009, when God just started the nonprofit, I kept trying to build the website. And then 2010, I started building it again. And God had me do it over and over and over. I've never updated and changed a website so many times.
Right.
But even in that, all things are purposeful.
Right.
And sometimes we think they're not, you know, but if we obey God, I don't care how crazy it sounds, how ridiculous it sounds, how redundant it may sound, whatever God chose you to do, do it.
Right.
Because it all serves a purpose. All things really do work together for those who love God and who are the cause according to his purpose.
Yes.
And so now it's effortless. Now I can, and I say this with all humility, I can put up a website in like 3 days.
Right.
As long as you get the content to me,
right,
I can design it and lay it out effortlessly. But it wasn't always that way.
Right.
And I literally sat at the computer and cried every time God said, I was like, are you kidding me again? You know, but now I know. And back in the day, I think the mid-90s, I had a family member that was very supportive of me and actually helped me to get all new Apple software.
Mm-hmm.
The G4 computer back in the day. I know I'm dating myself with that. And and I literally self-taught myself how to use all of the Adobe software. And then I went and registered in graphic design school just to make sure that what I taught myself was right. I am a graphic design specialist. I do have a certification in that. And so, and it's something, I've always been very creative, you know, from a child. And so I love creating stuff. So, you know, people come to me all the time, you know, even with all that I have going on, and say, hey, can you design this for me? Can you do this?
Right.
And because, to the glory of God and by the grace of God, because it comes so effortlessly, I don't mind helping because I believe in sewing.
Right.
You know,
right.
And where I may not have the finances to sew or help as much as I would like to, I do offer, you know, the gifts that God has given me to design websites and all that stuff.
Right.
for those who need it when and if I can. So, yeah.
Amen.
So
Amen.
The encouragement, I would say, is whatever God tells you to do, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to take that leap of faith because it is unknown. A lot of times it's not going to make sense to the natural eye.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to even question yourself when you're
right.
stepping into this faith. Don't try to figure it out.
Right.
Don't try to figure God out. Don't try to put him in a box and make what he's telling you to do make sense.
Mm.
Faith does not make sense.
Right.
And that is our biggest mistake as believers, is trying to make the steps of faith make sense.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
Only when he brings his plan together will
right.
it make sense. But as you're on the journey, it won't. So don't question it, because questioning it will cause you to get stumped. And getting stumped will cause you to miss his timing.
Mm.
And his timing is very essential, not only to you, but everybody involved in what God is doing in you, through you, and around you. So don't get stumped, because you're not only affecting your life, but you're affecting the lives that are attached to yours.
No, that's good. That's amazing. Wow. Amen. So many know you as Theola J. The Encourager.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how has that transition, you know, been moving into now life coaching?
Yes.
You know, and if someone wanted to, you know, ask you for life coaching or, you know, schedule speaking engagement. Well, first, let's start with that. How has the transition been moving into life coaching?
You know, for years I felt like I wanted to be a life coach. And again,
mm-hmm.
it has a lot to do with me not graduating high school. So I've always felt like I was an underachiever, so
okay.
I always felt like I needed to do extra and more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it really was Lorraine that for like 5 or 6 years who just drilled in my head that you are smarter than most people with degrees.
Right.
You know, it's amazing because sometimes I know most people would not be this transparent, you know, because we wanted people to think that we got it all together. But I'm here to tell you that it wasn't always that way. You know,
right.
I doubted myself because I didn't graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was smart in school. I knew I got good grades, but I felt like having a degree would basically put that stamp on it, you know, that it would justify me, you know, and make, like, it without that, you weren't smart.
Mm.
You know, even though I knew I was smart, you
right.
know, there was a feeling of inadequacy. So that really kind of made me want to go into coaching. Like, God, I can't talk to these women without having a certification saying I'm a coach. I can't really, what can I tell them? But I've been doing it for years without a certification.
Absolutely.
You know, and for years, God would, it's going to sound crazy, but I'm going to say it, would not allow me to take courses or do anything. And I think it's because I needed to know
mm-hmm.
that it was not me, it was him.
Right.
Because had I got that certification back then, I probably would have been saying, okay, I am because of this.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can say I am because of him.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So the world may need the certification, but God didn't. And I think
right.
for me, I needed to know that. So that transition now has been good for me.
Right.
You know? Because all it did was let me know that God had already given me what I needed.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So I don't even pay attention to the 6 certifications, you know.
No,
they're
not
there,
at all.
But.
Yeah, yeah. Because your life experience is what
yeah.
qualified you.
There you go.
You know, and God already qualified you, God already called you and equipped you.
Yes.
And so the certificate is just that.
Just
a certification.
That's true. Because whom he calls, he qualifies.
Amen.
And whom he qualifies, he calls.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so so if anyone wanted to, you know, schedule a life coaching session, you know, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to the website, theolajabram.com or theolaj.com, and there are a couple of sessions, 3 sessions that they can sign up for.
Okay.
There's a 30-minute session, there's an hour session, and then there's a 90-minute session.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so if someone wanted to, you know, book you for speaking, because
mm-hmm.
you do speaking events,
mm-hmm.
You've spoken at different arenas and different
yeah.
genre of events and things like that. How would they go about? Is that the same?
Yeah, that's the same thing. They
okay.
can actually go to the website, again, theolajabram.com or theolaj.com, and there they can click on speaker.
Okay.
And right in, actually on the first page, the home page, they can click book Theola, and we can do that there. So that's been pretty amazing. You know, over the years, God really allowed me the opportunity to speak, you know,
right.
Even in the pulpit, you know, for
yeah.
a year, he had me ministering in the pulpit, and I realized that was training, because right after that, I started getting all kind of offers to come and
wow.
minister in churches. And so doing that And I used to run from it. I don't want to be no preacher. I don't want to be no pastor. I don't want to be speaking in nobody's pulpit.
Right.
You know, only because, you know, sometimes we see so much in the church and, you know, you just want to be different. You want to be pure and you want God to use you in the purest form. And so I'm not saying anything is wrong with any of that. I'm just saying that I just wanted to be sure that it was God. And
right.
It was, because he began to open doors. So I've had a wonderful opportunity of being on panels and speaking at so many
mm-hmm.
different events and engagements and, you know, at some public events that private events that I wasn't able to disclose publicly
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
of, you know.
The confidentiality and things like that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it's been great. It's been really great. And the feedback after those speaking engagements are pretty phenomenal. And it
mm-hmm.
always really kind of leaves me in a state of humility, like, God, you're so amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
How he can take a little girl from the project who didn't graduate high school, who, you know, dealt with a mother who was an alcoholic. I mean, so much.
So
but,
much.
You know, he says he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So
right, right.
It would be foolish, you
yes.
know, for him to use someone like me, but he does.
Oh, my goodness. And you guys heard her still a little bit about her testimony. You guys go ahead and get that book when it's, when it's republished. And also, you know, I heard you say in your training season, basically it was your training season when you were speaking at the pulpit, it basically
mm-hmm.
opened up the door for bigger opportunities
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's very important that we don't miss that training season, you know, or don't run from that, because some things are not attractive. We don't want to do certain things, but it's like the Lord will use it to catapult us into the next.
Yes, he will.
So that's,
yes, will.
You know, that's phenomenal that you even, you know, spoke on that.
It's true, because no one would have thought, you know, God has, he has an amazing way. His ways truly are not our ways, and his thoughts far above our thoughts. Because I never would have thought that, you know, him having me walk away from my job
mm-hmm.
and totally dependent, becoming dependent and reliant upon him for my basic needs.
Right.
You know, and that means
mm.
going to whomever he says to go to, you
oh
know.
Oh, my goodness.
Having him send the raven, you know, to do all that kind of stuff. And no one would ever be the wiser, because a lot of times people see posting on Facebook and Instagram and they think, oh, God, she's doing this, that, or the other. When
mm-hmm.
I post stuff like that, it's really to the glory of God, because you have no idea
yeah.
what is going on back on the background.
Behind closed doors.
You know,
doors,
to make
absolutely.
This happen. So it's not I'm boasting, but I'm boasting in God,
absolutely.
Because I know what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I know where he's taken me from. I know what he's allowed me to do. So don't avoid the promise abort the promise because you're trying to avoid the process.
Right. Come on.
Because you've got to go through that process.
Oh, my
goodness.
You've
got to learn how to trust him. You've got to learn how to exercise your faith in him. You have got to learn how to go when he says go, do what he says do, when he says do it, and how he says do it.
Right.
And that's a part of the process. I never would have thought that I would have had my water turned off. I never would have thought that I would have been, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars behind in my rent. I never would have thought that I would have had multiple cars repossessed. I never would have thought.
Jesus.
You know, and no one noticed, because we continued the journey with the repo man showing
up.
We continued the journey with the water being turned off. We continued the journey when I had to go to speaking engagements and had no food at home and had to have somebody, hey, Sister Stella, you want to take this pan of food home? Little did they know I had no food, but that's how I was going to eat.
Mm.
But had I not gone to that event, I never would have been fed by the raven at the event, you know. So, but no one wants to tell those kind of stories because we're too prideful, we're too arrogant. But those are the stories where God gets the glory. Those are the stories where you get to know who he is and how he is really Jehovah Jireh.
Oh,
you get to know how he is your protector, your provider. That's how you get to know him.
Jesus. Oh, yeah.
But if you avoid those processes, you don't get to know him like that.
Right.
So
don't
avoid the process.
Right.
It's not easy. You know, and it's going to cause you to swallow your pride. It's going to cause you to get rid of your arrogance. It's going to cause you to do all those things, because he's going to strip you down to where you can purely be used by him to the glory of him. Because then you will understand that it's not about you.
Oh, my goodness. And it absolutely would even go that far to even expose the idols and break you out of self-sufficiency.
Yes, he will.
I mean, this is not hopscotch. This is, you can't skip, you know, a step. You have to go
line
by line, precept upon precept.
Yes, it is. It is that.
Yes, that is amazing. Yes, absolutely. For the sake of time and us transitioning over to our joint session for the night, I have one more question for you. Now, where does Ciola J go from here? You know, where are you going from here? You know, do you have any more, you know, ideas? And you know, has God been opening up this arena of speaking? What's going on these days?
I'm just going to say God is doing greater things.
Okay.
But I'm going to leave that to Him and His Holy Spirit.
Yes. Right.
And I'm just going to say, you know, we'll begin to unveil more as He leads, guides, and directs us in obedience. Nothing before
okay.
His timing.
Amen.
All things in obedience to God.
Okay.
But, so where does Ciola J go from here? Wherever God says.
Amen.
When He says and how He says.
Right. If He says jump, you're going to say how high.
I'm going to say, Father, how high.
Amen.
That kid hanging on to my daddy pant leg.
Amen.
I ain't letting go. Whatever He says, how He says, and when He says, that's what I do.
Amen. So do you have any further comments or anything else you would like to further discuss at this time, Ms. Ciola J?
I'm glad this part is over.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you for doing this. And
oh,
I'm just glad.
Thank you for having me.
All to God be the glory. I'm glad we obey God. And, you know, he's been saying this for, what, a couple of months now? A
couple of months now. We've been trying to schedule this thing here. But
so all things in God's perfect timing.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to bring Dusty on and see what
I
he
know.
Has to say.
Dusty, are you on? Are you on yet? Let's see.
Can you hear me?
Hey. Oh, yes, we can hear
Hello?
You. Hello?
Okay, how are we doing, Lady D?
We're doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Sister C, how are you doing out there?
Hey, Brother Dusty, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. God is good. And can I just say hello to Radio Land?
Yes, you can.
Go ahead, brother.
Hello, Radio Land. How you doing out there? Good to be here with you, ladies.
Amen.
Dusty,
awesome.
It's always so exciting to be with you. You're so full of life and so much fun.
I know.
Well, you know, I have a ball with you guys, and I just feel so powerful when I'm with you. We're doing such good things, and Miss C, you know what? You're on a mission, and I want to be on that mission with you. So we're going to make some things happen. Just let me say that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right,
Lady Amen.
D.
Amen. Amen. So you guys are like the dynamic duo when you guys come together. So we'll bring you on in this interview, Brother Dusty. And I'm going to start with you. So how does it feel now being in a role as a director?
As a director, well, let me answer that question two parts. In the beginning,
okay.
Terrifying. You know, I tell you something. When I first took on this project as a director last year, I got to be honest with you. I didn't think I was qualified to do the job. And but it's funny because Ciola looked at me and told me, "Oh, you can do it." And I said, "No, I don't think I can." And she looked at me and said, "You can do it." And, you know,
right.
I said, "Well, if you think I can do it," she said, "I know you can do it." And so I said, okay, you know, she had that faith in me that I didn't have in myself. And so, you
right.
know, I struggled
right.
a little in the beginning, but you know what, with the grace of God, it happened, and I was able to do it. And this year, you know what, this is my second one with Walls 2. I'm very confident in what I'm doing, and she's very confident in me, and that makes a big difference. And so I'm loving this role as a director. It's something
yeah.
I really never saw myself in, but I, like I said, I love the role. I love what this is all about and what direction we're going in. And so I'm just happy to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be able to say, to call myself the director.
Right. You know, you're rocking it out, Dusty. I mean, I didn't know that you didn't, you know, that you were kind of apprehensive about it because you stepped in and you're such a natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, Miss Ciola, she has an incredible ability to just see things within us and kind of pushes us all to the fullest potential. And so that's an amazing thing that you was able to just to go with it, and that you, you know, resisted that feeling of apprehension, because you've done an amazing job. You know, like I said, you and Miss Yola J together is a dynamic duo. You guys are like a force to be reckoned with regarding this theater production and even film and all of that. So we're excited to even just be, you know, in the midst of having you as our director, and, you know, you push us all to do our jobs even more, even better.
And Dusty, the cast absolutely loves you, which you would, you know, they really have a great respect for you. And we don't have to say this because you already know this, but we all love you, and this Wild family is pretty incredible. So I'm happy that you said yes.
Right.
Well, I'm happy you twisted my arm. And you know what? As you said, Lady D, you know, she always does have a vision. You know, she, you know, I tell you, when we went through the first play, and I remember telling her, she said, "I'm not worried. It's going to happen." Every time we seen the step back, there was something that set us back. She always said, "You know, my faith is there. I'm not worried about it." And I remember telling her, "You know what? I'm a worry for you." But every time she told me not to worry, it's going to happen, it happened. And it got to the point to where now my belief got so strong in what we were doing that, you know, that I knew that nothing could stop this. This thing was rolling, and it was nothing going to stop it because God was pushing it. And so, you know, it got to the point where I just, whatever, every time we thought there was a setback, I said, "That's a hiccup. Don't worry about it. We're moving." And we continue to move, and we continue to make it happen. And God is good, and you know what? I'm just so happy to be a part of this. I look back and I think about how I got involved with this, and it's just amazing to see the accomplishments that CO have put together, and with little or nothing but faith, and walking in faith, and talking in faith, and making it happen. And it's been happening, and it's going to continue to happen. So I'm just happy to be a part of this, and like I said, I kind of, you know, I'm really getting more credit than I'm really worthy of, but I do like that title, director. You can call me that anytime.
Director Phil.
Director. Okay, boss man. You're kind of touching in on my second question. My second question is, what was it that initially led you to come on board and step into this position with CJ Productions? I know you're in Female to Woman to Lady, that play, but so what kind of led you to come on in full time?
Well, you're right. I met Ciola in Female Woman to Lady, and I met Ciola, the playwright. By the time we finished the play, I got an opportunity to know Ciola, the person. And it was Ciola, the person, that made me know that I had to be a part of whatever she was doing. You know, as I got to know her during the course of the first play, you know, I realized that one of the things that struck me about her was she wasn't driven by greed. She wasn't driven by money. You know what I mean? She wasn't driven by popularity. But you know what? But God had truly put her on a mission, and she was sincere and faithful to that mission. And, you know, and when I looked at her and I just saw her commitment to this project and her commitment to God, you know, I wanted to be part of that, and I had to be part of that. I needed to be part of that. And so she asked me to, when I continue this journey with her, and it was, you know, I was glad she asked me before I begged her, but she asked me, and I was more than happy to be a part of it. I'm glad she asked me to join her and to take on more responsibility with her. And so now we're like family, you know. She's like my sister, and, you know, I just look forward to what's the next thing we're doing.
Amen. That's phenomenal. And we're glad to have this family dynamic, you know, that has been created because first Miss Yola has said yes, and then you said yes right along with her. So, again, you guys are phenomenal together. So, again, that goes into my next question. Can you both share how it's been working with one another?
Well,
I don't know who wants to go first.
If I might go, do you want me to go first on that?
Sure. Go ahead, Justin.
Okay. Well, first of all, let it's a phenomenal experience working with her. We've grown in a way. I don't even know. It's a love we have. We're like brothers and sisters. She's part of my family. My wife loves her. And, you know, we are able to understand each other's, you know, let me say this. Let me take you back for a minute. When Sienna gave me this play and told me to, she said, read it. And then when you finish reading it, I want you to read it again. And I want you to learn it. And then I want you to make it come to life. And you know what? I read it 1,000 times, and I kid you not. And so, you know, I got to the point where I understood what she was feeling, and I understood what her vision was, and her vision became my vision. And so we worked together so well. I mean, we laugh and joke, and I tease her, she teased me. But we got such a beautiful team effort going. And, I mean, you know, it's like having a job, the best job you can ever imagine having, that you enjoy going to every day. And that's how we are. So, you know, we work extremely well together. And I don't think we could – I'm telling her this now. You can never find a better combination than me and you.
Right.
I agree, Dusty. I agree.
Julie, know you boss man.
I agree.
I agree. When I first met Dusty and Female Woman to Lady, I was actually away on a speaking engagement, one of those church events. I was actually speaking in Fresno. And when I came back, I came to rehearsal, and Dusty was there. And I remember sitting down at the table, not knowing who he was or what had transpired since I was gone.
Right.
And so it was kind of an awkward situation. But during the remainder of the rehearsal, what I was looking for, and I'm sure that a lot of people, a part of that cast, didn't really know, but I was really observing. I'm always observing. I'm laughing. I'm talking. But in the midst of it all, I'm really watching because I know what God is doing, you know, and I know what, hallelujah, what he has me looking for. And so little did Dusty know, but I was looking for someone to play my father towards the end of the play.
Okay.
In the movie.
Wow.
And I was watching Dusty's work ethic. He didn't talk a lot. There was no pushback. Not that he didn't have input, but he was very respectful. He showed up ahead of time.
Never late.
Always showed up ahead of time. He was always well prepared. You can tell he had read his script. You can tell he was rehearsing his lines. He was ready, and he was a team player. He was always willing to jump in and help where he could. You didn't have to ask him to do anything. He was always thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, people look for in terms of work ethic.
Right.
And that is exactly what I was looking for. And like he said, you know, thank you, brother. But I wasn't looking for somebody that was really trying to make a name for themselves. I wasn't looking for someone that was trying to, you know, okay, I want to be this, that, and the six, you know.
Right.
Dusty was very humble. He was, you know, he wasn't trying to be all that. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He wasn't bogarting. He wasn't pushing his way through. He was just very humble. And he was there to do a job, and he was committed to that job.
Right.
He didn't miss a rehearsal. He never did not know his line. He was just, and so that stuck out to me.
Right.
And so I approached him and asked him, you know, could we work to, would he mind coming alongside of me and working this project? And I was so really, I was honored when he said yes. You know, I met with him and his wife, and love Eva. Hey, sis Eva. And so it's been really great. And I'm telling you, Dusty has came in and he has really got this cast ready.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he has put in, you know, I like to say Dusty is the hardest working fan in
stage
play.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I second that.
Dusty, he rehearses 50 hours a week with the cast.
Oh,
then he shows up on the weekends and rehearses with the cast. He's making phone calls. He's doing all kinds of stuff working with this cast. And so kudos to Dusty and kudos to Sis Eva and his family for the flexibility they allow him to have. So it's been really rewarding working with Dusty, and I'm looking forward to continuing this journey. And you're right, Daddy. Dusty, we're not going to find a better dynamic. So unless Eva says otherwise, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
You're stuck with us.
Right.
that's a good
you know,
thing.
Now, yes. Yes, it is. And so now, you know, we're on tour for If These Walls Could Talk Part 2.
Yes.
And we just had our May 11th show. And, you know, now we're getting ready to be at the Guild Theater June 15th.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you guys, how do you both feel about this stage play and the progress that it's made?
Wow. Dusty, you want to take that first?
Well, I'm overwhelmed with the stage play, with the cast that we have,
mm-hmm.
with the message that's out there. And probably mm-hmm. that's the most important part is that, you know, it's not just a stage play. It's a lesson in life. It's about for those who haven't connected with God to connect with God, for those who that might have strayed away to reconnect, and for those that's there and maybe slipping in the faith, hey, to get rejuvenated. So it's such a powerful play. And like I said, it's not just a play. It's a lesson in life, and so I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm so happy about it. I'm so happy that the reviews were positive about it, and I'm just happy to share it with the world, and that's our goal. You know, everywhere we go, we're on a healing mission, so I'm very excited about it. I'm just really lost for words on it, Sister D.
Right. It's been pretty amazing. I want to read some of the reviews if I can, and then talk about the experience. And I put some of them up on Facebook, so I'm gonna read a couple of those because I didn't go and pull them up from emails. You know, one of the people said they had an amazing time at the play on Saturday. She said she never felt so human and inspired at the same time. She said it was funny and had an inspiring message. And she said that, you know, it was an opportunity because we opened up and spoke about things that was relating to parts of her life. And then she hashtag, he put a ring on it, boot up. and then there was another cast member, you know, who said that Selma and LaTanya were their favorite cast members, but they said Selma stole the show for them. I've had so many people say they are in love with Selma.
Yes, I love Selma.
We all love Selma. They said they enjoyed the message regarding Sheila, who was growing into a spiritual woman of God. They loved that Deacon Kingsley finally proposed to Mother Mabel. They said they knew it was coming. And they said, bravo to the Walls. Bravo to the Walls family. So we had someone who said they thought the play was really good, that it was about love and relationships and putting it all in God's hands. There were so many different reviews that came in. I'm going to see if I can pop over to my email and read just a couple more if I can. There were so many, again, reviews that came in. And it was just mind-blowing to hear what people had to say about the play. A lady said she brought her granddaughters and, you know, the characters. She said it was the storyline was really good. They were able to grasp it all. She said it was humorous. It was serious. And that the reality of it all kept their attention from beginning to end, and that they can't wait until part 3 comes out. Someone else came in and said that, you know, their husband came to the play, and he usually doesn't go to plays at all, but he's looking forward to coming to part 3. She said it was a blessing, the word of God in the play, the singing that continuously goes on. She talked about everybody's daily life and the people who love God and the married couples that were coming back together. She said it was a family thing, and again, she just loved Thelma Jenkins. You know, and then someone else wrote that they enjoyed the play and they thought the cast members did an outstanding job. Someone else spoke about just how it was nothing short of amazing, and the actors, all of the actors were worth a notable mention. You know, she talked about the production being full of love, laughter, and faith, and she's so happy her and her husband were able to attend. And she closed her statement by saying, we've gained 2 new fans with this one. So that was really good. Someone else said that they were, let me see, I had a great time at the show on May 11th. Special shout out to Brandon, played by Al Green, who did a phenomenal job acting and singing. Again, also enjoyed Jackie Foster. They said that laugh was hysterical, and they can't wait for the next play. They also said that it was worth the drive. It was worth the drive, and they will follow us wherever we go. So
awesome.
that you know, all of those are really huge, and there were quite a few more that came in.
All right, that's amazing. And so, with you, how do you feel about this production? I know that there is a lot of pressure now because everybody's anticipating
mm-hmm.
Waltz number 3, but we haven't even yet fulfilled the tour for Waltz 2, so
right.
that's a lot of
right.
pressure.
Right.
And we're anticipating Waltz 3 too, you guys.
Me too.
We're all anticipating Waltz 3. But how do you feel, Miss Yolady, about this production, being this is your third one?
If I had anything to do with it, I would be, like, patting myself on the back. But because this is all God orchestrated, I'm like you all. I'm pretty amazed at what God is doing. We really don't have time to sit back and kind of be like, oh, this is great, you know, because we're constantly
right.
working. I mean, we're rehearsing every weekend. There's constantly things that are happening. Dusty and I are constantly looking at how we can perfect it. You know, we're looking at, okay, what could we have done better? You know, there's conversations, the cast members, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm constantly reaching out. Dusty's constantly
right.
reaching out. So there's really no time to sit back and kind of marvel in all that is taking place,
right.
you
right.
know. So for me, it's pretty amazing to see. First of all, I'm amazed that we're even on a tour.
Right.
You know, so that is like mind blowing to me. Oh my God, we're going to Sacramento.
Right.
Oh my God, we're going to Fresno,
right.
you know.
Los Angeles.
So yeah, so it's just kinda like, oh my God, we really doing this, huh?
Right. Oh
you
yeah.
know, so I'm in awe by it all. But when for me on May 11th, sitting in that sound booth and looking out at you guys perform, it literally I felt like I was in awe, like, oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
They are really doing this.
Amen.
You know, and you guys did such a phenomenal job, you
Amen.
Know. And because you all did such a phenomenal job, we can't help but to clap our hands at Dusty because
Absolutely.
He's the one that
Absolutely.
Is saying, hey, it's kind of like Johan with the book when he wrote the manuscript
Ooh,
to the movie.
Impressive.
Dusty has an amazing way of saying, no, when I read this, this is exactly what I believe Ciola is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually 99.9% of the time exactly how I wrote it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the directing, I'm just amazed at what I see coming to pass. And the way this family loves each other, genuinely loves each other,
right.
and how much fun we actually have together is pretty incredible. So for me, it's really great seeing what is written on those pages literally come into life, especially
mm-hmm.
when we first start out.
Oh,
and
my
it's,
goodness.
It's kind of like, okay, where you want us to stand? Okay, how should we be doing
right.
that? And then we get to the day, and it's actually, oh, my God, they're ad-libbing in,
right.
and this is great.
Yeah,
but you all's level of commitment is really great. So it's wonderful.
Awesome. And it seems as though, you know, our cast seems a lot bigger. I mean, we have a few, you know, new members, but
yeah.
you spoke about the family dynamic. And do you guys, I want to ask you both a question. Do you both believe that our Wall family dynamic has helped with creating that, the family structure? You know, do you guys believe that it's made our work easier, like kind of like made it easier for us to work together collectively without all of that? Because we have a huge cast and a lot of us, you know, when you get a lot of people together, sometimes sometimes people don't gel together, but
mm-hmm.
we collectively respect one another. We don't have
mm-hmm.
any, you know, arguing, fighting and bickering.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of
mm-hmm.
just go with the flow on one accord. So do you guys believe that has helped us out a lot? I mean, what do you guys feel about that?
Dusty, you want to answer first?
Absolutely. I believe the dynamics within the family is what makes this thing work. You know, I'm a use an analogy and look at the Warriors. If anybody follows sports, the Warriors playing in the championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors got a 12-man roster. And, you know, when you look at the Warriors in the last few years and what they've accomplished, and if you look behind the scenes where they've made sacrifices, some of the big names took cuts in pay to keep players on that team. You know what I mean? They've
wow.
given up millions of dollars to keep other players there because they knew that they needed those players to accomplish the bigger goal. You know what I mean? And they did that. And I look at our group like that. You know what I mean? We all work well together. We all bend for each other and make sacrifices for each other. And that's what makes it work. And we have a dynamic, let me say this, a dynamic group of talent. I can't, you know, we've changed some talent from last year to this year. And we had some good talent last year. But the talent that we replaced with brought a new perspective to that particular role that they took.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you something, right now we – you know, you call me the director, and I'm like, this is the easiest job I've ever had because I have such a talented group of people around me. And we all just get along so well. I never laughed as much as I do on, I guess if you want to call it a job, I never laughed as much as I do with these guys and laugh with them. And when somebody has an issue, we cry with them. And it's just it's a family operation. And I'm telling you something, yes, the dynamics of the group is what makes this thing work. We got so many different diversities of people here, nationalities of people here, and we're making it happen, and we are truly the Walls family. I love this cast. I don't ever want to see this cast change. It's just such a talented group and such a loving group of people. They're my family, and I love them all.
Amen.
Thank you. We love
Amen.
You too, Dusty.
We love you too, Dusty, both men. no, I agree with you, Dusty. I think that we have, you know, God has done such an amazing job in bringing this entire cast together. And, you know, I say this all the time. DJ's going to laugh when I say this, but I really believe that God gives everyone opportunities. And, you know, so many people have had the opportunity to come and be a part of, you know, what God is doing. And I'm grateful that the end result is the family that we have, you know, that we have today. You know, I'm grateful for last year's experience and the folks that we had. That was great. It was wonderful. And as you said, this year, you know, I'm grateful for the new folks that have come on board, you know. And I agree. The family makes such sacrifices for each other, and because they believe in this production, we have four or five people driving in every weekend from Sacramento, you know, to rehearse for a couple of hours. They're making an hour drive to come in and rehearse for a couple of hours and then an hour drive back, and they're doing that on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, people are making sacrifices with their jobs. You know, people are making sacrifices with their family, their kids, you know, just to be here because they believe in this wholeheartedly. And you can see with the effort that is going forward in learning in their lives and just being here. And I agree, Dusty, I love this group so much. We laugh, we talk, we joke, we kid with each other. When something's going on, we're there to support one another. And, you know, this is great. And like you, I don't ever want to lose the family dynamics that we have. You know, just as an example, the Walls family came together yesterday, you know, to pray, you know. So we came together on a prayer call and, you know, we prayed together. And that was a great thing, you know. And when we come together, we pray together, you know, we pray for one another before we leave. And so it's just been a wonderful thing. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. I feel like our Walls family is solid and we protect it. We protect our family.
Right. Absolutely. Amen. So is there anything else that either of you would like to share before we close out?
Yes. If you don't mind.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Go ahead.
To my radio audience out there. You know what, I just want to say with all sincerity, we don't get an opportunity that often to have someone in our own backyard, our own neighborhood, our own community doing the thing that CO is doing, being a playwright, an author, a movie producer. And we need to support that. We, you know, as a community, as a people, we need to support that. Like I said, it's not that often that we get an opportunity to see one of ours rise up, and we should support them when they rise, and we should support them and keep them strong. And it's so important when you look at what's going on around this world right now. That, you know, she's bringing a message of hope and strength and forgiveness and what God can do for you. And so it's there is no message more important out there. And so I ask everybody that can hear my voice, come on out and join us, whether it's here in Sacramento on June 15th or when we move down toward Fresno. Come and join us and spend an evening with us. And say hello to me when the play is done. Don't leave. Say hello to the cast, and I would love to meet each and every one of you. But support what we're doing here, because she's on a mission from God. And I just ask everybody to reach out, and you know what? Just like we go support the Stone Soul concert, you know what? And spend $40, $50 at Stone Soul, come spend $35 and support what Seol is doing. Like I said, it's helping people. It's saving lives. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be on and talk and letting me ramble. And, you know, I love you guys, so I look forward to seeing you again. And that's it for me.
Well, thank you, Dusty.
Thank you, Dusty. That means a lot. Thank you so much. You know, I just want to add, if I can. Wow, it's pretty amazing when God has really entrusted you with something so amazing and so great, and where your heart really desires to impact the lives of others, where you can offer hope. You know, you can offer encouragement. You can offer inspiration. I would love to see other women writers, you know, African American, all women, you know, rising up to walk in their purpose and in their destiny, to not be afraid, to not run, to not allow your past to destroy your destiny, to not be afraid, to not feel inadequate, to not feel insufficient in any area, but to really trust God with what he says to you. And don't be afraid to stand alone, because oftentimes when you're walking in obedience, most times you will stand alone. You have to be bold enough to not go with what's trending. You have to be bold enough, you know, yet humble enough to obey God, because oftentimes we want to go with the fad. We want to go with what's trending. We want to go with what's happening. And in order to walk with God, you have to follow him. To follow him. And this journey has not been easy following God, because I am doing what a lot of people think is crazy, but God says you can do it. And so being able to write these stage play productions and working with such an amazing and wonderful and awesome group of people is just incredible. And to see the lives that are being impacted and changed. You know, Dustin, Lady D, a couple of people came up to me after the production in Oakland on May 11th, and, you know, they talked about, they thanked me for sharing, you know, bits and pieces about domestic violence. They thanked me for the prayers, you know, and how encouraging. That makes what we do worthwhile. When you know that it's impacting, that right, when you know that it's impacting lives, we're not there trying to you know, okay, we need to sell 300 tickets. You know, we're not pushing tickets. And that's the one thing that I've always tried to drive home with this, is that it is not about performance. It is about ministry. And as long as we never lose sight of that, we have been entrusted with an opportunity to be used of God to minister to his people. Yes, it's a stage play. Yes, we have to sell tickets. Yes, we're going to be on stage, but never lose sight of why God has allowed us to do it. And as long as we stay focused on the people, stay obedient to God, and never lose the humility that we have, God will continue to move us forward. And so, you know, if you want to be supportive and come out and support us and help us really kind of share this ministry, then by all means, you know, log on and get your tickets. But know that you're not putting money in our pockets. This is going forward to move ministry to go forward. That's really what this is about for us. And so I don't want to lose the focus on what's really going on here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both for sharing that.
Let me just say this. Dusty, you're playing my father in the movie I Know. So I want people to know that.
Thank you. That is correct.
Amen.
I'm looking
Amen.
Forward to that
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
I know that's super
Amen.
Exciting. Amen. Well, first, Miss Deola Jays, it's just on the behalf of myself and now all the listeners, everyone who's tuning in, we want to thank you for sharing your heart with us this evening. I know our listeners have learned a lot about you, you know, that you know, a lot of new information, which is amazing. And Brother Dusty, a.k.a. Deacon Kingsley, a.k.a. Boss Man and Director, thank you for joining us as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we just have, you know, a couple of minutes before the show is ending, and we would actually like to hear some feedback from the listeners who joined us tonight for the show. For those who are listening and they have some feedback, we would like you to email your feedback to info@deolajabram.com. That is info@deolajabram.com. And with that being said, Real Talk with Deola J is a biweekly show and will air at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for 1 hour every other Thursday evening. With the special edition shows occurring periodically on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. For our next show, please stay tuned and be able to be attentive to the postings that Miss Deola J is going to be posting on social media regarding the next show. Please join us for what will be another awesome show as we have a sit-down with the Walsh family and talk about the Sacramento Run on Saturday, June 15th at 6 p.m. at the Guild Theater. So mark your calendars to tune in, and by all means, please share and encourage. I encourage you all to share. It means so much. And thank you again, Miss Deola J and Mr. Don Dusty Phelps, a.k.a. Deacon Kingsley, as all of you have tuned in to tonight's show. Please follow us on Blog Talk Radio and share your comments on tonight's show. And again, this is Lady Deidre Jackson in for Miss Deola J, and you have been listening to The Real Talk with Deola J. Tune in 2 weeks from today, Thursday, June 13th at 7 p.m. Thank you for all tuning in, and we look forward to having you. Have a wonderful night.
Awesome. Thank you, Lady D. We appreciate you hosting tonight's show. And Mr. Phelps and Mr. Don Dusty Phelps, a.k.a. Deacon Kingsley, a.k.a. Boss Man, we thank you. Thank you again for tuning in. And this has been awesome and wonderful. So this is Deola J, and I'm sending a special thanks again to Lady Deidre Jackson for doing such a phenomenal job of hosting tonight's special episode of Real Talk with Deola J.
Thank you.
And I guess we just busted out the Walsh family. You guys are on in 2 weeks.
Amen.
Yes, we are.
So if the family is listening, get ready, folks. We will be back here on Thursday, June 13th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we will just have a good time with the Walsh family as we prepare to make our Sacramento debut at the Guild Theater, located at 2828 35th Street in Sacramento, California. Tickets are now on sale. And you can log on to brownpapertickets.com. And if you type in If These Walls, that's all you need to type in, is If These. Mm-hmm. And two shows will pop up. The June 15th Sacramento show will pop up for you to purchase tickets, as well as the August 17th show in Fresno. It will pop up as well, as tickets for that show are also on sale. So we look forward to you joining us and supporting us. Again, this is Deola J, and I just want to say thank you to Lady Deidre Jackson and our additional special guest, Mr. Dusty Phelps, who is our director and the boss man and who plays Deacon Kingsley in the stage play If These Walls Could Talk, as well as playing my father in the upcoming movie I Know. This is Deola J, and we're signing off. Have a great night, folks.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.